With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen as your day unfolds. Challenge what the future holds, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. Liverpool host Brighton. Jack Wilshere's going back to Arsenal. And Man United face Spurs in the thigh rubber. Woo! You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser.
That's what it came from. I was really racking my mind.
You gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger.
Oh, I wanna be the only one, the only one, the only one.
A very
BB Winans.
A very rare BB Winans impression there.
Yeah.
That's the only BB Winans impression you'll hear on a football podcast this
I always
week.
Used to get BB Winans.
That was eternal.
Different, yeah, featuring BB Winans.
Yeah. Yeah, he was there. You can always find him.
Like Jeremy Corbyn, he was there. He was just there. I may have made a contribution.
Yep.
I'm not sure.
I may have laid down a beat.
Put some dry and bass shit over it. There we go.
Yeah, a bit of Des Ray to begin with.
Marcus, is it uncomfortable for you to see at the very start of recording, and I appreciate this is not a visual feature, but bear with me, Mark, Pete is sat in front of another watch and another banana.
Oh yeah, I am, aren't I? I didn't even realise.
Didn't even do it on purpose.
I've got to stop taking it off my watch because I always leave it here, and it's the watch that my dad got me, or rather gave me his old one and got it engraved with Love Dad.
bit short this month. It's near the end of the month. Have that for your birthday present. Good old Stewie.
And then I got him a watch back because I was never into watches before, and I got him a watch back, and I got it engraved saying,
"Love."
She said, "Love you, Dad." But the bloke wrote, "I love you, Dad," which sounded a bit more like I wanted to have sex with my dad.
Did the back of the watch say, "Just put something like, I love you, Dad"?
But you can't just add an I. That was an expensive watch.
And those of you who are interested in the trials and tribulations of Pete as it relates to his father, Stuart Donaldson, he's a regular feature on the Luke and Pete show.
Imagine,
even though he doesn't know it,
people listening to The Ramble and never sort of hearing from Stewie Donaldson. No. I think he might have graced one of our specials at one point.
He did.
Where I interview my dad about why he doesn't like football.
Yeah.
So back on
a football ramble special there. A man who doesn't like football.
Again, Marcus, it was getting towards the end of the month.
Marcus, are you forgetting what I bring to the table? Yeah. It's never football, Marcus.
You'll be pleased to know, ladies and gentlemen, we do have some exciting specials coming up, of course.
Yes.
We have one that's out now.
Yeah, Luke, Acast Plus subscribers can currently listen to my long-form interview, about an hour, with the lovely, and he is a lovely man, Carlos Carvajal, Sheffield Wednesday and Swansea manager, of course. That will be out for all Ramble subscribers on Wednesday the 29th, but it's available now for Acast Plus subscribers. $1.99 a month. You get the specials early and you get ad-free Rambles as well. That's the admin out the way, Marcus Speller. I know you want to go straight to Anfield, so I'm going to let you do that.
Thank you, brother. Premier League, Liverpool host Brighton. Liverpool, they started the season where we saw a bit more of their team, if you like, against Crystal Palace. Of course, against West Ham, it was a bit of a stroll in the park at Anfield. But against Palace, they were a little bit more tested. Alisson, we saw him getting his hands
dirty.
Dirty, yeah.
With their gloves on, so it was fine.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. But in the purest and most professional sense, he got his hands dirty.
So everyone in their right mind, I'm going to put this out there, everyone in their right mind is tipping either Manchester City or Liverpool for the title. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so.
I've got some bad news for Liverpool.
Yeah.
On Sky Sports this week, they've been tipped for the title by Mr. Stuart Pearce.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of a vote of confidence.
It's equivalent to putting David James up front.
Yeah.
Every time I hear the word Alisson or the name Alisson, I think of the old... There was a punk band called Whitmore that was on Scuzz TV back in the day.
Scuzz.
And it was, Alisson, I want to talk to you. I think there might be boobs in it.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. And what about, and all I ever knew, only you, Alison Moyet.
You mean Alison Moyet covered by One Eyed Willie, that song?
Did Pete Donaldson's pop punk outfit One Eyed Willie cover Only You by Alison Moyet and Yaz?
We attempted a late push for that.
What about...
I'm speechless.
What about the one where Roy Chubby Brown was going on about Alison? Alison.
Who the fuck is Alison?
Or Alison in Chains, of course.
How have you managed to make that sound even more dated than our things?
Alison Chains. I like that. That was good. Will Liverpool fans start... There's a lot of options for Liverpool fans to start bringing songs to the table for Alison.
I think so. But Alison Becker.
Probably not Whitmore.
It's a great name, Alison Becker.
It is, isn't it?
It really is. But he's a very good goalkeeper, as we know. Two clean sheets. But when I say we saw a bit more of the team, what I mean is that, you know, Van Dijk was man of the match. We know he's got that in his locker, of course.
Fantastic.
But Alisson, we saw him make a save or two. Naby Keita had another good performance. You look at that Liverpool performance against Crystal Palace, you know, it was all 7 or 8 out of 10 across the pitch. I know player ratings, whatever you may think of that, but you get the point.
Yeah,
you know, and Crystal Palace, not the easiest place to go. Now, this is a home game against Brighton. You would fancy Liverpool to win that. These are the kind of fixtures, actually, which I think are preferable for Liverpool to potentially build. No disrespect for Brighton. They just beat Manchester United, of course. Build up a bit of momentum, you know, if they can get 3 wins out of 3, you know, when they go and play the big boys, teams that they tend not to struggle against.
Yeah.
Jurgen Klopp is the old...
Marcus, we talked about it last week with a trip to Selhurst Park is exactly the sort of game that occasionally Liverpool will struggle on the Alisson Becker thing. I think you're doing him a touch of a disservice because his full name is actually the fantastic Alison Ramses Becker.
Oh man, that's even...
So Ramses.
It's got like an Egyptian flavour as well.
Yeah.
So how was he ever going to be anything other than a huge success with that sort of name?
A Brazilian goalkeeper with that name.
But yeah, so Liverpool's first test, real test of the season on paper, of course, we know the Premier League is competitive, is they've got Spurs away in the middle of September and they've got Chelsea away at the end of September. You're right on what you say, they need to build up ahead of steam. But Brighton, of course, were first to everything against Man United. They snapped into tackles. Their passing was good. They were very, very good.
And they'll need a performance like that away to Anfield.
I think that sort of performance or that sort of style of play does play into Liverpool's hands a little bit because I'll just pass through them and hit them on the break and they'll be chasing shadows, I think.
Well, if Brighton tried to go toe-for-toe for Liverpool,
they'll get knocked out.
They will.
They were knocked out of the Premier League.
Get out.
No, that was so poor that you're actually knocked out of the competition. Yeah.
That could be a high scoring game, Liverpool side, I think.
Lewis Dunk has gone off injured as well. I know Balogun came in and sort of deputised, but Dunk and Duffy are a huge part of what made Brighton, you know, on their own terms, by their own measure, sort of successful last season. They are also terrible away from home. Mm. Terrible. So it's a big ask for them. Brighton are actually 14-1 to win at Anfield this weekend. £10 with Bet365 returns, £150 including stake, should the Seagulls soar. But I think it's probably beyond them and the way Liverpool are playing. I mean, you've got situations.
Hence those odds.
Exactly. You've got a situation where Fabinho's not even in the matchday squad. And the Klopp's saying it's going to take a while for him to integrate and to get him ready and all this other stuff. They already look a large measure stronger than they looked last season.
I think that's it, isn't
and
it?
And we talked about the Champions League final, how they had seemed to have no options at all off the bench. Now, I'm not saying they would have won that final if they did, but now they look a lot more rich in terms of resources, don't they? They've
done very well. And the new James Milner, just kind of having an incredible time this
season. James Milner, penalty takings James Milner. He loves it, doesn't he?
I think it was Savage on...
when was he in some of those shootouts England were in past tournaments?
Yeah, definitely. Savage on the BBC sort of said... you know, I think it was Savage. Yeah, he sort of said, I think it's...
did it annoy
who's
you?
Who's got the most, like, assists or something in the Premier League? And it's like, and he was comparing... it to, like, some players who have played in the Premier League for, like, 3 years or something. It's like, of course it's going to be...
No, but he's got more than, like,
he's got a ridiculous amount, but he has been in the Premier League a long time.
He's been playing the Premier League since he was about 14.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But Klopp, though, has been laughing off any title talk Liverpool. I think he did this last season, and he was right to laugh it off.
If you look at if you watch a Man City match, you'd be like, we're not going to get past that, are we? But I nailed on second for me, guys.
But their head to head record against Man City is quite strong.
It's not too shabby.
And Klopp's head to head record against Guardiola is also very strong. It's those damn 36 games in between that Man City are better.
They should just play two matches in America.
That's maybe it. Man City did beat them 5-0 last season. Yes, they had a man sent off, but 5-0 is still 5-0, Peter.
It is.
Liverpool beat them in the return fixture, though.
They did.
So it's all to play for.
But Klopp did say he wants Liverpool to be, what was his word? Something like an ugly team to play against.
Yeah.
But obviously he's talking about they want to be one of those teams where they think, oh, blimey, Liverpool are coming to town. Or, oh, we've got to go there.
Yeah.
Make Anfield a fortress. Now, one could argue it already is, certainly in European competition, Klopp has turned it into a fortress. He's got to two European finals. But that is it, isn't it? It's an obvious thing to say, but this... When teams go to Anfield, they want to be thinking like they used to do at Old Trafford back in the day, and perhaps the Etihad.
Well,
and
Liverpool
days.
Back in the day, by the way, in like the 80s and that kind of stuff.
I can't remember that.
Come on. That's pre-ramble.
Yeah, easy. Yeah.
PR.
But it has to be one of those stadiums where people go and think, if we can just nick a point, rather than thinking, well, do you know, if we can get at them. You want the team to be demoralised before they've even got off the bus, you know, and they're certainly going the right way about it. Other thing that Klopp said recently, in fact, maybe it was even just yesterday. We haven't really talked about Mesut Özil and all the stuff that's going on in Germany and whatnot. But Klopp came out today, and because I think most of us feel quite sorry for him, and he called the people who are slagging Mesut Özil off as hypocritical, you know, for that photo of the president. He said, this is a classic example of absolute misinformation and, of course, complete nonsense. I do not doubt these guys about their loyalty to our homeland. The difference is they just have one more thing in their heritage. Where is the problem? That's beautiful. And I'm not necessarily trying to open up the debate and talk about the Özil. I mean, you can if you want, chaps, of course. But I just thought, hey, good old Klopp. It's about time somebody quite big sort of stood up for this nonsense.
The thing I do like about Klopp is that it's something I also sort of dislike about him at the same time, which is that he's very emotionally led. And what that means is he can come out with some stupid stuff, especially when his team get beaten.
Yeah.
And he will walk out of a press conference where he doesn't like the questions or insult an
he's journalist. He's not too prickly.
I've seen him insult journalists before, and I've seen him walk out of press conference.
But not like a Mourinho is at the moment, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, but that's not really a measure. That's, no, that's not a standard.
Mourinho is the worst of the worst.
Yeah, he's a killer, but he's not a serial killer. So Klopp has that in his locker, but he also doesn't really tend to duck in issues. And this sort of stuff, it is important for people to show leadership and step up and say what they think about this sort of stuff. And I respect him for doing that. I was just going to go and actually going to pick up on your Liverpool home ground fortress point.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth remembering that Liverpool didn't lose a home game in the league last season.
Mm.
So I would argue they're already at that stage.
All right, fair one.
And so what they actually need to do is successfully navigate these banana skins away from home. But not only that, I mean, unfortunately, it does have to be seen in the context of Man City. I mean, Man City are racking up 100 points. Very difficult to do anything about that. You know,
they've done that once. Admittedly, it doesn't mean to say they're going to go again this season.
It means that it means what it means, which is there's a 20-odd point swing for Liverpool to do something about it.
Yeah, but
and that's
but
very hard.
It's incredibly hard, but it can be done. You know, and each season is different. You know, I mean, mention Mourinho. I mean, his Real Madrid side managed to, at the time, it was a record points tally against Barcelona in the league. You know, it can be done, these big swings. It'll be very, very difficult, of course.
You did say you want to Liverpool to intimidate, or you think they should intimidate them before they get off the bus, so we've got to go to Anfield. I mean...
No, not quite what I said.
They did throw bottles of cider at the Man City coach last time, the Liverpool fans.
Yeah, again, it's not quite what I said.
That's an intimidation of sorts, that's all I'm saying, Marcus.
You want the players to be demoralised.
I think he's telling people to throw cider at buses.
All right.
That may or may not be true. Yeah. I suspect it isn't.
Oh, how good you must be at your job if you can look from the sidelines. That's what Mourinho said to that journalist, didn't he?
Yeah, if you go back the last 3 years, though, the reality is Liverpool have been nowhere near good enough in terms of points total. I mean, I think they had 75 last season, because they were 25 points behind City, or whatever it was. They had mid-70s the season before that, and I think the season before that, they ended up with about 60. Mm. It's nowhere near good enough. It's nowhere near the level they need to be at with Man City in this league.
It's so, when the distractions start with the Champions League, isn't it, really? Yeah. Which, of course, they went very far in last
time. But they should beat Brighton at home. That's the salient point here. They should beat Brighton at home.
And the odds reflect that.
Yeah. What was Leicester's average points tally before they won the league?
There it is, you see. It's the ace card.
Come on.
Leicester City is the outlier here.
Dirty tactics. Underhand tactics.
It's the outlier here which renders every other football conversation about the top of the Premier League completely obsolete.
What about Leicester? Net spend. Yeah. It's the net spend. Shouting net spend.
At the end of the day, though, Leicester won it, didn't they? Yeah. Mic drop. See you later.
I've got no reason why Middlesbrough can't win the Premier League. They're not in it yet.
Yeah.
They're not in the Premier League yet.
Tell that to Tony Pulis.
I know.
And he'll have to agree with you because it's fact. Let's talk about Pete's second favourite club, Arsenal.
I don't know where this has come from. I think I commented at one point that the Emirates was a nice place to watch football.
I think everyone's
very polite.
I think a mutual friend of ours has got it in your head that you hate Spurs.
Yeah.
And I think you also said that you quite like going to the Emirates.
He doesn't hate Spurs, but he does quite like Arsenal.
Emirates is a nice place to watch football.
Pete, how gutted
I've always lived around there, so like I can always
pop in.
You haven't lived there for years.
I've always lived around there in the grand scheme of me living in London, I'd say.
Yeah.
Probably about eight out of the 10 years.
Okay. How gutted would you be if West Ham won?
West Ham need points on that point. They're such a messy
Arsenal.
Such a fucking messy score.
Both sides need a win here. Ugh. I think this one could be an interesting game because neither side can defend that well. So Arsenal certainly have got goals in them. And both sides need a win. So it's gonna be about 4-3.
But let's talk about that West Ham engine room in quotes.
Because there's a lot of animated GIFs and videos.
I don't know about West Ham fans everywhere, but I'm worried about it.
Uh-huh. Well, Jack Wilshere said he wants to show Arsenal that they were wrong to get rid of him. He was willing to take a pay cut to stay at Arsenal, but Emery said, "Nah, you're all right."
Emery say, "I can't guarantee you play every week"?
He said you'd be a fringe player, essentially.
Yeah, okay.
And then
why does he expect anything other than that? That's what I don't understand.
Well, you would back yourself. He's been there for a while.
The point in playing Jack Wilshere when he's just going to be injured every second game?
He fancies West Ham's chances against Arsenal, and it would be classic Arsenal if West Ham won and Wilshere was the master.
I personally don't think that's realistic at all, based on what I've seen. Of course, you never know in football, but the Wilshere thing, I find if it is as it's been reported, I think if you're a top level pro and there's a squad of an amount of players in the Premier League, surely, unless you're some sort of, I don't know, Eden Hazard or Mo Salah type player, which, let's be fair, Jack Wilshere isn't at that level, and he has, arguably, he never has been, and if he has, it's not been for a very long time. Surely the only thing you can demand from a coach is, I want to be part of the first team squad. And after that, it's up to you.
Mm.
After that, you play if you deserve to play, if all things being equal. So I don't think it's fair at all, given Wilshere's record, that he should be able to say, "Oh well, the reason I wanted to leave is because I wasn't guaranteed a first team place."
Well, no, but
his body doesn't guarantee him.
No, because he was willing to take a pay cut to stay at Arsenal on his current deal, so he clearly really wanted to stay, and it was the coach saying, "At best, you'll be a fringe player. You're not really going to feature." So it's fair if he moves.
You can change
your
manager's mind, can't you? With your performances and with your commitment. And
you can, but at the age of, what is he, 26 or something?
I suppose certain managers just don't fancy certain players.
Well, exactly. And also, if there's an offer on the table from a big club like West Ham and so on, I think it's fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about perhaps Ruben Loftus-Cheek when we talk about Chelsea in the second half.
I feel with this game we're talking about, I feel that based on what I saw from West Ham against Bournemouth, they need more numbers in that midfield. Like, it's clear to me that with Wilshere's recent record and his current performances and Mark Noble's advance in years, you can't play a 4-4-2 with those two in the middle.
No way.
And that's what they're trying to do from what I can see. So whether it means that Arnautovic has to drop in deeper, which you probably don't want.
You need another body in there. I'm surprised Pellegrini wouldn't see that and do that. But what about Arsenal? There's much debate about Unai Emery and his Arsenal side trying to play out from the back. And certainly Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher had a bit of a ding-dong about
this. I enjoyed that.
It was
really good TV,
Yeah. Should he keep doing what he's doing? It is early days, and they have played two of the strongest sides in the league.
Yeah.
Or should he just rip it all up and play it long, Peter?
No, it's going to take a long time to turn this all round. And I think the players are just starting to get used to Unai Emery's situation.
I agree.
I don't think the Emery board should be worried about his position just yet.
Just stick to nails.
Yeah.
And if it goes really well, will they rename the stadium the Emirates?
I've not heard that.
I'd love to say yes.
Domestic treble, like you did at PSG.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't get that European one.
But no.
So it'll remain the Emirates.
The Emirates. I can't even say it. The Emirates.
Imagine him with a urinary infection.
He could.
What a tongue twister.
He could just nip up there in the middle of the night and stick a wire in that stadium, mate.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
But only if it goes well, of course, because if they lose this game, it's hardly going to happen.
But I do. I actually fall down on the side of Gary Neville in that debate that I watched on Monday.
I think I do as well.
Yeah, I think that there are improvements there. It's a long-term project for them. They've been hugely undercoached for years, and there's improvement there to be made. Now, whether they've got the personnel and whether Sokratis, for example, is ever going to get up to speed, or whether Mustafi's going to find that form that he found a decent while ago, I mean, that's really important to work out. But ultimately...
But yeah, then you address that.
Personnel aside, you can't really blame Emery for them losing to Chelsea and Man City. They rallied well against Chelsea and were unfortunate. And obviously City are City. So, it'll be a chance for Arsenal, with the greatest respect to West Ham, a chance for Arsenal to get off the mark. You know, and if you fancy goals in this one, over 3.5 goals is 11 to 10. So £10 with Bet365 returns £21, including stake. Should we see 4 goals or more? Arsenal could do with a really big win here, couldn't they?
They certainly could. And I do fancy goals. Luke Moore.
Good.
Arsene Wenger. Remember him? He was in Liberia to collect an award from President George Weah.
Oh, recently. Lovely.
What a sentence you love to hear.
That's glorious, isn't it? Still winning awards.
Well, his son's tearing it up in France.
That's right, yeah. Why it's not Wenger's.
Wenger's might be, I don't know. He's got a son.
Big Veng received the highest honour in Liberia and was inducted into Liberia's Order of Distinction as a Knight Grand Commander of the Humane Order of African Redemption.
Wow.
That is magnificent.
That sounds good.
What a title.
Sounds like a superhero.
The award recognises contributions to sports in Africa, giving many Africans opportunities. And of course, Weah was signed by Wenger in 1988 for Monaco.
It's a pretty good point.
It's damn
very,
right.
Very
this
good
man
point.
Has been underappreciated in this continent. At least in Africa, they are recognising what he's done.
I don't want to pop anyone's balloon.
Okay.
I am going to, but I don't want to do it.
Right.
I believe another recipient of that award is...
Claude Leroy.
Sepp.
No way!
I think so. I think Sepp's received it.
Not when George Weah was president.
No, well, no.
That makes it a bit more...
No, I'm just saying, in the interest of balance...
I thought you were going to have a dig at Claude Leroy there, or however you pronounce his name.
No, I would never do that.
I was going to say, he's done a bit.
That won't happen on my watch.
Yeah.
But big Sepp's in there. Surprisingly, big Sepp's got his finger in that pie.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
All right then, let's have some emails with PED.
All right then, hello to Ross Anderson. After hearing last week that you wanted some football's banana stories, I don't recall doing that. And while I'm aware this may have been a joke, I refer to you to a recent incident before a cup tie between Scottish non-league sides East Kilbride and Spartans. East Kilbride wanted to come up with a novel way to welcome Spartans to their home ground, and for a reason I'm not sure has been fully explained, the club presented the away side with a commemorative engraved banana. Now, he's appended a picture, and it's basically this beautifully laser-cut, laser-burned kind of banana, just saying, here's a football match.
What metal was it?
What?
What metal was it made of?
It's made of banana.
Oh, it's an actual banana?
Yeah, it was an engraved banana, but engraved by a computer.
Oh, I thought you meant like a sort of like a trophy in the banana, style of a banana.
That's a temporary gift, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is.
It's gone black already. It's by almost certainly at time of record, it's
the
gone black.
The East Kilbride Club Secretary said that it was a bit of a laugh. It epitomises what non-league football means to football. Which are really like
transient,
rotten, forgettable, but full of potassium. Yeah.
Listen, they're probably almost certainly having to put that in a banana bread right now.
Yeah,
because it's gone overripe.
Beautiful. I had a really overripe banana yesterday. It was It was nice but disgusting. Hello to, who have we got here? Colin McGill from South Norwood.
Ah, McGill.
Oh, that's my end.
Hoping a Newcastle mention might get me read out. Definitely one for Luke to bring to PD's attention. Rude. Please see the attached horrifying consequences of life as a Newcastle United footballer and what living away from that shambles can do for your health. I think you'll agree that the Thames Water, other brands of water are available somewhere, has had an elixir-like effect with young Andros Townsend.
Ah.
Basically, he's appended two pictures of Andros Townsend when he was at Newcastle and Andros Townsend now, hair-wise. That's, I'm just doing it for cameraman Sam. That's a picture of Andros Townsend.
He's
then,
balding
with Newcastle. Balding. Oh, yeah. He's got a little Steve McLaren hair island going on.
He's looking old. He's
now,
looking tired.
Full head of hair.
That's not.
And a lovely beard.
And a lovely beard.
That's not Townsend.
Isn't that wonderful?
That looks like a different man. That, I tell you what, that shows you what happens when you get out of that bubble.
That shows
you.
Get out of that goldfish
your
bowl.
Your hair grows back.
I say what happens.
Get out of the clutches of Mike Ashley.
When you move out from under the yoke of Ashley's, living in Ashley's whatever sort of prepared accommodation he's got for you.
Your body responds.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Also, we've got an email from Cesar. Hello, Cesar. Hi, Ramblers. I just want to update you on a fascinating moment in Mexico's Liga MX. During Wednesday night's match between Club Tijuana and Santos Laguna, both sides had a player named Jesus Angulo on the game day roster. Both players not only share the same name, but also from the same exact city in Mexico. One was born in 97, the other in 98. No relation.
Wow.
And then both players swapped jerseys at the end, which I really like.
How does the commentator even sort of distinguish?
Jonathan Pearce, wouldn't he?
If there's a goal on clearance, he'd be in bang in trouble.
Yeah.
Imagine with Jonathan Pearce, those two players.
One had a shot.
And the other cleared it. And we're not sure if it was over the line or not. My goodness, he'd need a hard reset, wouldn't he? Dawson hard reset.
And finally, for now, James Wade from Ipswich has pointed out that big Mike Dean used to be a ballroom dancing champion, so that's where his history on it.
No,
that's what he says.
Never.
That's what he says.
The most unsurprising news of the week.
Hang on, yeah. You said that's what he says. Well, yeah. Have you checked that?
Pete, I also
exactly.
I also like the fact anything. That an email has got through the net, which is about with two pictures on an audio show. Doesn't put Pete off his stride. He's straight in there. Prints it out in colour. Yeah. Reads it out for us.
Absolutely. It's all right, innit?
Yeah, good stuff.
Don't care.
No, why would you?
And where can people email their pictures for you to read out?
shortthefootballramble.com. It's very easy and simple.
All right, let's talk about Newcastle United after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, everybody, to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. Newcastle United, they host the Chelsea boys. Newcastle, they enter a difficult period playing Chelsea, Man City away, and then Arsenal in their next three league matches.
Hooray!
Take it away, Pete Donaldson.
I'll tell you what, Pete. Tricky. Newcastle have only got 1 point thus far.
At least they've got a point.
Am I right in saying that Kennedy has evaded any sort of
escape punishment?
Absolutely unbelievable.
That makes a mockery of anything else that happens in the season when it comes to referees.
Imagine the investigative panel or whatever it was looking at that and going, fine. Yeah. That is fine for me.
We can't retrospectively punish that.
No.
Was it because the referee...
It's got to be clear and cut, or clear and decisive.
Clear and obvious.
If the referee mentions that in his report and says that wasn't a red card, I don't know what's going on.
It can't be revisited
once he's mentioned it.
As far as I'm aware, if the referee spotted it and included it in his match report, there's no further action to be taken.
Bizarre.
But then if he has done that, the very premise of that principle is that if you have seen it, that's a red card.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
if
that happened in Sunday League, you'd be crying out for a red card.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. If it happened on the street, you might call the police.
Well, he's not playing against Chelsea because he can't play against his parent club. So he's getting his rest then, isn't he?
I'm surprised we haven't heard more from Neil Warnock about it.
Oh, I think he had something.
He was enjoying.
Well, why is it not in the run?
He was.
Why is it not in the Warnock Ramble?
Because that was last weekend.
He was enjoying the match. He's gone. It's a great day. It's been a great day. It really has. We can give anybody a match in our home patch. He said. Bullshit. You were crap. And
they got a point and a clean sheet.
They were dreadful.
Point and clean sheet.
AKA platform.
Exactly.
To take into their next game. Which is, I don't even know, they're playing. Oh, it's away to Huddersfield, so they're probably
Cardiff.
Right
chance there.
Cardiff are going to be the new Premier Passions era Sunderland.
You're really down on Cardiff, aren't you?
Yeah, I really am. I think they're dreadful.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a point. Yeah.
They're dreadful, and they've got a dreadful manager League.
Can the human mind, and I'm not even going to say with respect to both teams here, can the human mind imagine a more dull Premier League game than Huddersfield at home to Cardiff at 3 o'clock on a Saturday? At least it's not on TV, that's all I'll say.
Could be goals in it.
They put Newcastle Cardiff on. Well, that was pretty dull.
Marcus, there could be goals in any game. Because that's part of football,
isn't
it?
It's very, very
true. It's part of football.
What's your Newcastle take, Pete?
Yeah, go on, Peter. Are they going to
win? Give us your hot take on the Chelsea game.
No, they're not going to win.
What about the protest that the Newcastle fans are planning outside Sports Direct on Northumberland Street before the match?
They did that last home game, didn't they?
We need to protest a bit harder.
They're doing it again.
Yeah,
good luck to them.
I'm very cynical about these types of protests. I know it's perhaps not a hugely popular viewpoint. But I think that for this type of thing to have any affirmative action whatsoever, they have to stay away from the game. And yeah. I know because of the way football finance works now, maybe that wouldn't even have an effect because the TV money is so much more important. But it would at least ask a question of broadcasters about whether they want to sort of market football that's full of empty stadiums, a.k.a. the Championship and League One, which it happens all too often in.
If it's going to happen somewhere, I think it will happen there, but I think it won't happen until Rafa either leaves under his own volition or gets the boot. A great welcome to the club for Sam.
Do you think, I know Mike Ashley has been well documented how poor he's been and how unpopular he is, but do you think there's a tiny sort of percentage of you that thinks Newcastle fans are their own worst enemy here because they're refusing to stay away, they're refusing to sort of protest effectively? It's just a question.
Really difficult to do that sort of thing. People have proudly sort of said, you know, I've been watching this club for through thick and thin. Why should I let that prick spoil my
game? I think that's
fair
it,
enough.
Isn't it?
It's and also, question.
No, it's a fair one.
And again, it's not going to affect his bottom line. He doesn't make a vast amount of money out of gate receipts compared to other, you know, not paying for advertising hoardings, a big Sports Direct nonsense.
He's also leveraged a lot of debt on the club, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's.
And on a more happier note,
he's put $250 million into the club, says Dennis Wise. The $250 million that they made last year.
Right.
So.
In happier news, Pete, they're 7-2 to be relegated with Bet365 from the Premier League. £10 will return £45, including the stake, should they go down.
They're not going to go down this season.
This is you got this down as a lock, as a Chelsea win, Marcus.
You'd have to, wouldn't you? But I sincerely hope Newcastle can get something out of it. I wanted to mention in the first half. I want to talk about Ruben Loftus-Cheek, not included in the 18-man squad for the previous match against Arsenal. Decided that he's going to stay and fight for his place at Chelsea. Of course, that was before the transfer window in the Premier League shut. He got 22 minutes as a sub against Huddersfield. The clubs say that they want him to stay and fight for his place. But he's not really getting... I don't think he was in the squad. Certainly didn't play in the Community Shield. And a lone move...
That might be because he came back late from the World Cup, though.
No, yeah, he was... Other players came back later than him. I think that in the articles reading, they cited Willian, who came back later, and yet he was on the bench.
Right.
A lone move could happen with interest from clubs in Spain, Germany and France, apparently. From what we saw in the World Cup, from what we saw last season at Palace and him in an England shirt, I really want to see him play. Yeah. And, of course, he wants that more than anybody. And
it's a long season, and I think he'll get his chance at some point, definitely. You can't ignore a man with just a stature, I think, kind of separates him from a lot of footballers.
Marcus, does his style of play fit into what Sarri does normally?
Well, possibly. I mean, I suppose he could be a sort of a shuttling midfielder. He's going to play with three. He seems to like Barkley, which is great, and I'm glad Barkley seems to be getting a bit of football as well, but... You know, you come off the back of a World Cup, you want to see these kind of more younger English players play a bit more. And there's so much chat. And it's been good to see English players now move abroad to the likes of Germany in particular. Mm. And I just wonder if Loftus-Cheek's going to think about this and just think, you know what, I've got to make a decision pretty quickly. Right, I'm going to go and maybe have a season in Germany, Spain or something like that. Well, it would make sense. I don't think he is going to play at Chelsea, and it's such a shame.
Speaking of prospects, there's talk of Stephen Ireland going to the Bundesliga.
Is that right?
He's all out of options.
No way.
The taking his pink Cadillac to...
God, if I was him, I'd be looking for a move to China. Yeah. They're still doing the big wages, which I mean, I'm sure they are.
If a Bundesliga club comes in for you and you're Stephen Ireland, you're going there. you're swimming there if you have to. That's unbelievable. Are you sure you read that right?
Yeah, Stephen Ireland. That's word on.
The Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I mean, it could be like his gran, I don't know. It could be erroneous information left, right and centre.
Don't mention his gran.
No, not again. The Ruben Loftus-Cheek situation is a well-documented one, a well-publicised one. And I suppose... Part of it might be it's difficult for him to get a permanent move elsewhere because his wages will probably be quite high. Mm. So the transfer fee certainly abroad would be too high for certain clubs.
I don't know about his wages. He won't be on that much at the moment at Chelsea.
I think he signed a deal last year, did he not? Okay, extension last year, maybe. Okay. I might be wrong on that, but my point was just going to be that it's obviously going to have to be a loan move. Mm-hmm. And of course, it has to be a loan move overseas now because for whatever reason, he didn't want to do the Crystal Palace re-up or they didn't want to do
it. He wanted to stay and fight for his place.
Yeah. So I think you're right, Marcus. I don't think he will play, and it is a shame. But Barkley's in there, and that's a good thing. If he can stay fit and have an effect on the team, and that's good. It's the age-old story of English football, isn't it? You can't go down that rabbit hole here because we'll be here all day.
True enough.
Young England players pass to the first team is a problem. It's a bottleneck and it needs to be sorted.
It does need to be sorted. Let's go to a club who have...
Who don't need to be sorted at all.
Who have no interest in such nonsense. Manchester United, much to the annoyance of their fans. They are at home to Tottenham Hotspur. It is probably the thigh rubber of the weekend, would you say, Pete Donaldson?
I think this is going to be a nailed on 1-0 to Man United.
Well, I was going to ask you.
I think it'd be one of those kind
of... Can it be a thigh rubber if it's a Mourinho team?
It will not make anybody pleased to... No one will want to watch it, but it'll be a narrow Man United win. It's I don't the think there'll be anything interesting about this game.
I think Spurs, actually. The Spurs could stick the boot into Manchester United.
You reckon?
They could. Bear in mind, Manchester United were involved in a five-goal thriller last time. No, I think if Spurs can get at them, but I think Mourinho might just be like, right, let's... A 1-0, please.
Yeah, I mean, watching them against Fulham last weekend, of course, I mean, they were quite profligate. They were quite wasteful with their chances. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of chances, but they won
3-1. They against did a very bench. Dogged opponent.
But, you know, and Fulham didn't look great, and they weren't marking Trippier. I imagine Trippier will have a bit more bother this weekend. But yeah, I can see Man United just edging this one.
Is it the last three seasons Man United have beaten Spurs 1-0 at Old Trafford?
Certainly last season they did, yeah. When Spurs shouldn't have lost that game.
Moichido.
This is a huge litmus test for Mourinho's team.
Yeah, I think so.
And the project and the state he is at as a manager there, because
he can't afford to get battered here.
No. He needs a reaction from his players. They came out saying... Pogba came out saying some quite odd things, actually, but I suppose on one level, at least he fronted up and did that. Mm. But he said, oh, yeah, my attitude wasn't right, which is a crazy thing for a player to say after a game. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he said it, and I suppose it showed at least signs that he wants to take responsibility. I think Pogba's been a lot better, actually, since he got that confidence boost of winning the World Cup. And all that kind of
which is all you need, isn't it? Yeah. It's like an insulin injection.
We can arrange for a few Pompey players to have that. I'll be very happy. But the point was going to be that at worst here with Man United, don't know what type of team they are. Mm. Don't know if the manager knows who his first 11 is. Huge defensive problems. Mm. And on the evidence of the Brighton game, which I understand there's only one game, but on the evidence of that game, real problems of application. Like, how are you in a position I know you're away from home against the Premier League team, and the Premier League is a tough league. How are you in a position where for large parts of a game, you're getting beaten to every touch, to every tackle, to every punch? And
a well-marshaled defence isn't going to save that. No. It isn't going to save the other team having...
Well, they haven't got a well-marshaled defence anyway.
Yeah.
But that
was Jose Mourinho's calling card, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, you're right, absolutely. So this game against Spurs is a huge one to watch, not because it's going to be a thorough, because I don't think it will, but because it'll be a really interesting insight into what the position the players are in re the manager. Are they going to get a reaction? We joked about Steve McClaren on Monday. They lost 7-1 away to West Brom. We said, well, we'll find all about the team and how lost McLaren is by how they get on Tuesday night. Got beaten 3-0 at home. Mm. If Man United follow this game up, I'm not comparing Mourinho to McLaren, by the way, in that way.
Why not?
Because I think it'd be unfair on Steve McLaren. But if they step up against Tottenham and get beaten badly, Tuesday, because it's on Monday night.
I think by virtue of the fact, I think Man United will raise their game, but they'll raise their game because of the opponents, not because of anything.
But when you say raise their game,
because they know that everyone's watching this match, you know what I mean?
Do you see Manchester United going out and going, right, let's really go at them and let's try and do that? Or are they going to play for a 1-0 and play very cagey? And essentially, in a home game where they're one of the biggest clubs in the world, they're going to invite the opposition onto them, because that's what Mourinho likes to do. Now, I know Mourinho's teams can play better than that and so on, but at the moment, with that side, with the low confidence and all, I wouldn't be confident at all in them going out and trying to kind of blast Spurs away or something like that. So they're going to have to play very reactive and defensively, and that will probably annoy the fans. I can't see how Mourinho
gets out of it.
He's going to get out of this one.
But they did neither things against the previous opposition, Manchester United. So I don't think... I just think by virtue of the fact that they know the eyes of the world are watching.
But it's Man United. The eyes of the world are always watching Man United.
But they're not watching compared to a match against lesser opposition. And they are lesser opposition in the shape of Brighton. This is going to be one of those ones where, all right, my reputation's on the line personally as a footballer. Pogba's going to be more up for it. All of the other kind of the players that have got pretty meaty contracts who have got, about 23, 24... who are decent footballers are going to be up for it. I can't see any.
But this is why I think it's a thigh robber, because of all these sort of narratives, all the things that are going on. Now, when they played Manchester City the back end of last season, there was a reaction there.
Yeah. I'd like to see Martial play this match, because I'd like to see what he's like against a decent team rather than Brighton.
Sure. In that game against Manchester City, they rode their luck, no doubt about that, in the first half, I think it was, but they 2-0 down. They came back and won it 3-2. You see, that's the kind of thing they need here. Obviously, not to go 2-0 down, but that sort of performance where some of the players go, as Pete, you're saying there, right, hang on a minute, we need to do this and so on.
I'd apart from what Pete said in the second half of his point there, but I think he really hit on something re Spurs when we were at the game last weekend. He said that, Spurs created a lot of chances, had a lot of the ball, and we talked about them being a little bit, looking a bit ring rusty, looking a little bit final ball, final chance, not quite clicking.
But Kane can score in August now.
Exactly. Well, if you fancy Harry Kane to score, by the way, any time, it's 11-10 with Bet365. So £10 on that returns £21, should he do so. But my point was going to be that if it clicks for Spurs, they dominate. I know Fulham aren't as good a team as Man United, but they dominated Fulham in the first half. Yeah. I can't tell you how many crosses, chances, passes.
Most of the game they dominated.
If that clicks against United, they'll beat them, and they'll beat them easily.
Absolutely.
And so, like you say, Marcus, it's difficult to see how Mourinho gets out of this one, barring a big reaction from his players. But just finally, I think Luke Shaw might be out, and I think Matic is out as well.
Right.
Injured. So, again, two players missing.
Yeah, we're sort of...
As well as the usual suspects.
Yeah, let's not sort of skirt over the big news coming out of Manchester United, of course, because according to reports, a group of Man United fans will fly a banner over Turf Moor when they play Burnley on the 2nd of September, calling for Ed Woodward to be sacked.
I knew it was going to happen. I didn't think it would happen this early in the season.
The full message will read, Ed out, L-U-H-G, meaning love United, hate Glazers. Apparently, it'll be the first time since the Moyes era that some Manchester United fans have felt the need to take to the skies.
All I want to know on this, is there a letter limit?
Yeah.
A character limit? Because if you're taking the chance and paying the money to fly a plane over...
A bit more than
Don't risk the message being lost.
Yeah.
Get in there, Ed Woodward out, love United, hate Glazer, pay the extra, and make sure your message is heard.
Yeah. I think Ed out is okay, they know.
Well, it might mean Edwin van der Sar.
He's not in.
Well, just making sure. It's a statement rather than a request.
What's to stop us flying a banner saying Football Ramble? Listen.
Well, write that down.
Our dignity.
Yeah.
Our dignity.
No, that's gone. Yeah. Yeah. Write that down.
I'm not wearing any pants.
Oh, dear. All right, then. Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
It is time for our best bet with Bet365. It comes from Sophie this week, who says, "Hi, guys. On Saturday, I'll be heading off to see my beloved Doncaster Rovers take on Luke's mighty Pompey at the Keepmoat Stadium."
Pompey have started the season very well. I don't fancy Doncaster's chance.
Four wins out of four, Sophie, so good luck with that. Mm-hmm. And so I've decided to throw caution to the wind and aim for a best bet victory, as surprising as Donny's will be should we triumph. Not going to happen. It doesn't mean you, Donny. It means Doncaster Rovers. I've taken on board what you said on Tuesday's show, or Monday show it would have been, duly discounting Everton and Newcastle, and decided to put a bit of faith in Unai Emery's boys to secure a win, third time of asking. My best bet of the week is Arsenal to be leading at half-time and full-time against West Ham, which, if I'm correct, has current odds of 10 to 11 on the bet three on Bet365, meaning £50 returns the princely sum of £95.45. As a Man United fan, as well as a Rovers fan, I can't quite believe I'm saying this, but come on, Arsenal, let's win some money for a good cause. So, Arsenal to be winning at half-time and full-time against West Ham is indeed 10 to 11, and £50 will return £95.45, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org.
Love
Good
that.
Luck, Sophie. Good luck, Sophie.
Good one. And now it's time for Going for Gold.
It is. So, the heat is on, and the
time is right. So, it's time for you. I love the way he says that. People are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can.
Lord. We're going to have the full thing every week.
Yeah, we are, because it's beautiful. In lieu of a WhatsApp stab.
If you'll indulge me, I'm 2-0 up on Marcus here. Jim's obviously not off the mark because he's not here.
Little tweak.
So Marcus, this is as they always say in football matches, the third goal is very, very important.
Very important.
And then they always say about Jim, he doesn't score in August.
No. Yeah, he literally
when he's
can't.
At the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah. We should get him on the phone for this.
Right, here's a little bit of music.
Loud, isn't it?
Is it? I'll turn it down then. Right, your first clue, ladies and gentlemen. I was born 14th of June, 1981.
Stop. I'm just going to go with Glenn Murray.
Oh, nice. Incorrect.
He's younger.
Stop.
Than that,
Michael Owen.
Incorrect, but lovely. I have played in 5 countries in my career, starting and ending in Brazil.
Stop. For some reason, I don't know why I was going to say this, and I'm going to have to stick to it now. I was going to say Clarence Seedorf. Because he managed in Brazil for a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Incorrect.
Stop. Adriano.
Incorrect. I scored 10 goals in my debut Premier League season, all of which were either outside the box or penalties.
Stop. Juninho Pernambucano. No, Juninho Paulista.
Oh, well, hang on a minute. They're 2 separate players.
No, Juninho Paulista.
Well, your first one was
Pernambucano. You can't have 2 in one go.
I didn't say. I stopped myself because it was the wrong thing. I corrected myself.
Give him it, Pete.
Either way, he's incorrect.
All right.
I have 100% conversion rate of penalties while playing in England.
How long have we got on Diamond Lights here? Because it's
stop. Emerson.
Incorrect.
Carry on. I've got an answer. Sorry.
I scored the only goal for my team in a game when we were beaten by 7 goals.
Oh,
stop. Ilano.
Yeah.
Correct, Marcus Miller!
Get in there. I was probing.
Well done, mate.
He was a good player. Played, of course, for...
Man City.
For Sven.
Yeah. After Man the... I separated from my wife in 2011, had an affair with a supermodel, and then got back together with my wife all in the same year. And after the 2015 Indian Super League final, I was arrested for assault of the owner of FC Goa.
I would have got it after that.
There you go.
Just as well we got that, because those clues didn't help at all.
Marcus, post-match interview, how do you feel to finally get off the mark?
Yeah,
I feel better.
Good, yeah, relaxed now.
You know, my attitude was wrong.
Your Juninho point was very, very fiercely fought contested there. I could see the fire in your eye.
Yeah.
If anything, he was trying too hard, Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
He's not forced it, and it's come through for him.
Right, we better go, because Pete just picked up his banana.
Where's it going to go?
Thank you very
much. Don't peel it in here.
Thank you very much for listening to the preview show, sponsored by Bet365, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll be back on Monday, of course, with the Football Ramble. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Bye-bye.
And it's bye from me.
I was just listening to the music to check that I'd done it right.
Turn the vol up. bananas in pajamas.
Ooh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.